All right. Well, guys, let's start with your individual musical backgrounds. Michael, let's start with you.
Oh, boy. How about starting with Marty?
Okay. How about we start with Marty, then?
No, I'm kidding. I'll do it.
Okay.
Mine will be quite short. For backgrounds. I grew up playing guitar and started playing at a young age. Started writing songs when I was pretty young still, playing bands and stuff like that. I don't have much in the way of formal training. But I learned a lot of what I know from listening to records, listening to the Beatles, of course, when I was young. Was a big influence on me. And then, of course, hanging out and working with some excellent musicians and composers, of which Marty is the longest-lasting and best of them all.
Oh, gosh. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, Marty. I love you, man.
And you, Martin, yeah.
Wow, I started playing the piano when I was pretty young and took lessons from about age 7. I think after playing in bands through high school and typical garage band kind of things, I ended up being a music major at the Wheaton College Conservatory, a piano major, and I switched in my junior year to composition because I was in a band at the time, and we were covering a lot of bands that did, prog rock and stuff like that. And one of the drummer at the time said, "Hey, Marty, why don't you try writing some music?" And I'm like, "Okay, I'll try that." I liked it so much that I switched my major to composition and then got a master's in music from USC in composition. The fun part was Mike was always sort of in rival bands.
We never played in the same band.
No. We used to sort of compete against each other, but we were always friends and sort of traded horror stories from different recording studios that we had been in. And Mike went and built his own recording studio while I went to college or got my master's from USC. And Mike was opening a recording studio in the Chicago area. So when I moved back to Chicago, I hooked up with Mike almost right away. And and the rest is history. We have been working together and collaborating on music since 1982, which is a really long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, what is the first thing that you guys do when beginning to write a game score?
I think it sort of depends on when we first started. The first game we actually worked on was Riven, which was the sequel to Myst. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the things we did, even just to get the job, took a bunch of Robin Miller's themes and we reworked them into a suite and added some of our own stuff. And Mike and I produced this really nice piece of music that we sent to Cyan and said, "Hey, you guys should hire us." So, that's how we got that gig, and we ended up not really doing music on that game as much. We did a sound design, Foley, and hired actors and did a bunch of stuff like that. Almost right away, though, we ended up working with Bungie on the Myth series. The interesting thing about that was it was all going to be sound design, but they had some dramatic moments and some cool narration stuff that really needed scoring badly. So we did some music for them, and immediately they realized that that's what they needed was original music, so it just sort of grew from there. I'm not sure if there's a regular way that we go about any of this stuff, especially since now Mike is holding down the fort in Chicago, and I'm full-time with Bungie and have been for the last 10 years here in Seattle. So I think it's I'm sort of out front because I'm embedded in the studio, and I work with the designers and the producers and the engineers here and figure out, in general, what I think the music needs to be. And a lot of times I'll just throw stuff at Mike, whether it's small motives or a feel or something, and then Mike starts playing with themes, and sometimes he'll come up with brand new stuff that he throws back at me, and we just trade back and forth until we have stuff we like.
Sort of a modern day version of the tag team thing we used to do back in the old days. We only had one piano, so we'd take turns. We'd sit down and the other one would lay on the couch, and we would just keep knocking out ideas and then go under headphones and work on the other guy's stuff. But we do it in the same room, which was great because you get instant feedback on it. Our modern day version is more the sending each other ideas. And then I'll put more drums or something in Marty's ideas, and he'll add his voice to mine. That's his favorite thing to do when I send him stuff, is put his voice on there.
Is it difficult to work in separate cities?
I would say not anymore. I think at first it was. When we first started doing this, I mean, we had been so used to working together in the same room. I mean, we did it for years. I think 17 years, I think, Marty. And then suddenly we're across the country. This is 10 years ago now when we started working on the first Halo game. Mm-hmm. It was kind of weird at first because, you didn't get that instant feedback. I think I kind of missed that. We figured it out. Eventually, we started learning how to do that. And kind of fun thing about the last game we worked on is for the first time since we've been working on the Halo games, we actually spent a couple weeks together at Marty's studio. I flew out there it's funny how after all that time, after like 10 years almost, I think, we fell right back into it again. We were in the same room. We were working on music together. It was kind of fun. It's like we hadn't lost a step or a beat, you know?
Yeah, and I think what was fun about that too for me was, and we're going to do it again on Halo Reach, it was actually, I still only have the one piano, so.
Yeah, nothing's changed, really.
Mike brought out his rig, so he could be actually working on tracks and adding stuff and making new stuff at his, you know, computer workstation while I was doing stuff on mine. And Mike would be under headphones and I would be under headphones, and then we would, you know, play stuff for each other and just trade back and forth. Yeah.
So how did you first become involved with the Halo series of games?
Yeah, in 1997, we did Myth of Fallen Lords for Bungie. Mm-hmm. The next year, we did the sequel. And while the sequel was happening, Bungie started working on this other super secret project in the other room. At the time, it was called Blam. That was the code name. And I think the first thing we had to do was the first major thing we did. I was working really closely with Bungie at that time on sound design. Mike was still sort of holding down the fort once again, working on our commercial business, which was sort of slowly dying off. I had sort of lost my fervor for doing kitty litter commercials and vitamins commercials and stuff. And I was like, no, Mike, really, I think this game thing's going to take off. But
hey, man, as long as I thought there was still a buck to be made there. So I wanted to keep going after that biz, you know?
Oh, I'm sure there was. I just sort of lost interest creatively. It was, you know, I think my head was so hardwired for 30-second intervals. I knew exactly when 29 and a half seconds was up, and I was really looking to expand into something that you know, we could do more grand and glorious works of music. So anyway, I was doing a bunch of sound design for Bungie, and we suddenly had this opportunity to do a presentation at Steve Jobs Macworld 1999 in New York. The guys were going to do a live presentation of a scripted in-game thing that was going to be, I think the guys told me at the time, it'll be around 2 to 3 minutes, or maybe 1.5 to 2.5 minutes, which of course I knew was going to be around 3 minutes then. Mm-hmm. I went to the guy at the time who was president of Bungie, Alex Seropian, and I said, look, you know, let me really score something to this thing, and you know, we'll provide you a score that's going to, like, you know, blow people away and really put this game on the map if we can, you know, hire an orchestra and singers and really do it right. That's how we did the very first Halo theme. We had basically a weekend to put it together. I remember singing the monk chant in my head on the way over to Mike's house, which our studio had just recently, believe it or not, burned down. So now we were working at Mike's house. I drove over there and I came into Mike and I said, look, I think it's going to work if we could have some sort of mushy music towards the beginning and then, you know, bombastic music in the middle and then have mushy music at the end, because I really don't know how long this thing is going to be, so we can always contract and expand the mushy parts. I said, here's this monk melody. I think I'm going to have monks sing at the beginning. And Mike is like, okay, sure, monks, whatever. We recorded it the next day, and then Steve Jobs showed it the day after that in New York, and we were on the map.
Awesome. So now there's an almost Celtic feel. You mentioned the main title. Was that planned, or was... Yeah.
Can I tell? I'll answer that one.
With what?
O'Donnell. Figure it out. He's Irish.
It's in my DNA, I think. Yeah.
We've always had this funny thing where Marty tends to feel things in three and I tend to feel them in four, and sometimes it actually comes out pretty cool because of that.
Okay. It's not three like a waltz. It's the micro pulses. It's compound meter, Mike. It's very complex.
Thanks, Marty. I'll study up on it.
So other than that sort of Celtic main title, how else did you approach the music for Halo?
Well, you know, I think that I knew that going in, my first goal was just to get this Macworld 99 thing so that it would be something that people would remember. It would be impressive and people would, you know, hopefully see this thing and hear it and want more. And then almost a year went by, or more than a year actually, from that time when before we actually started working on music specifically for the game. And in the meantime, Microsoft bought Bungie. I ended up coming on full time as the audio director and composer at Bungie, and we ended up, you know, moving to Seattle, and there was all sorts of upheaval. Luckily, that initial piece of music, we kept using either that or, you know, mixes of that piece for marketing pieces that went out. So it became pretty much the, you know, the theme to Halo. So I knew that once the game started in development and full production that I was going to be able to dip back into some of those themes and expand on them. So that's pretty much what we did. We kind of ripped that thing apart and did all sorts of different versions of it and just got as much music as we possibly could.
And I have something to add to that. I think at the time, we really tried to approach it from a cinematic point of view when we were doing music for the game. And at the time, it was kind of a newer idea to do that. You know, it was a lot of games were just rock music and stuff like that. We really tried to come at it more from the idea of like, well, what if this was a movie? What would the music sound like? Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of helped raise the level a bit.
All right. So what influenced instrument choice?
You know, that's interesting. I think that some of it is just, it's you can find stuff that Mike and I did for commercials and some films back in the 90s where, as a matter of fact, I think it was the Principal Financial Group. Remember, Mike, where we had long singing and you know, we did a lot of, I don't know, we've always done fun, rollicking sort of cello pieces and stuff like that. So to a certain extent, I think we were falling back on things that we knew we could do well. The guy who's the director here, pretty much the story director, Joe Staton, came to me and said, okay, this thing needs to feel mysterious and ancient and epic. So I took those three words and I thought, well, okay, let's see. Epic means, you know, sort of bombastic orchestra and timpanis and of course, the low strings, which we really like to work with. And mysterious, that was cool effects and mysterious sounding washy things. And then the ancient stuff, I think, was really, you know, that's where the monks came from. I just felt like if you had monks singing, you would immediately get this feeling of something that's really old. That sort of set the palette right there.